Welcome, everyone, and happy Tuesday afternoon to one and all. Fall is here. It is chilly with rain. It is kind of a gross day here in southeastern Wisconsin. I hope you're faring better wherever you are. And if not, bring that raincoat and bundle up because it is definitely getting chilly. We got a great show today. But of course, as I always like to do, let's start with some of the day's headlines. According to Governor Evers' office, the Wisconsin Food Share Program is set to run out of funding in 10 days. November food assistance for Wisconsin kids, families, and seniors is again in jeopardy, not just because of the big brutal bill, but additionally because of the shutdown. You would think that, food assistance might be one of those, quote, essential functions of government that they would want to make sure is still operating, but nah. Governor Evers today calling on the Trump administration and congressional Republicans to end the federal shutdown to meet Democrats' demands to restore the ACA subsidies to ensure that tens of thousands of Wisconsinites continue to be able to access life-saving and affordable health insurance. This is shocking. It's 700,000 Wisconsinites potentially impacted by this. Again, show some heart, MAGAs, just a little bit. Again, emergency food assistance should not be this difficult to figure out that you probably should be funding. In other local news, a Racine man has been charged with stalking Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jill Karofsky. This is according to reporting by WISN. He has been charged in Dane County Circuit Court. The man's name is Ryan Thornton. He made his initial appearance yesterday. Prosecutors are pointing to a number of emails that Mr. Thornton allegedly sent to Justice Karofsky. Justice Karofsky has never had any interaction with this man, couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but it seems to be now a very common practice, the harassment of sitting judges and here state court justices. Other local news, this I'll say a little bit on the bright side. Politico recently published their latest poll about what is going on in our congressional district that Derek Van Orten represents. And here's the interesting part. Donald Trump, so this is the third congressional district here in Wisconsin. Donald Trump still has a tiny net positive favorability rating. It's within the margin of error, by the way, so it could be negative. But Trump has a tiny +2 net positivity rating. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Derek Van Orten, with all of his emotional irregulation, outbursts, swearing, pushing women in line, lambasting Senate pages for hanging out in the rotunda, seemingly being intoxicated, again, allegedly at various points, you know, all the hallmarks of a really stable congressperson doing the people's good work. Yet DVO is -10. -10 net negative rating. And in the latest fundraising reports, Rebecca Cook has got a goodly amount of money, giving her a good head start in that race. Boy, that was a little bright spot on my daily horizon this afternoon. Also, this, speaking of Derek Van Orten being completely in shambles, shambolic, I may call it. Yes, I'm making up that word. The state GOP is also in shambles. Their treasurer has resigned, and someone got a hold of her resignation letter, ladies and gentlemen. And boy, it's a doozy. I want to read you from the former GOP of Wisconsin state party treasurer's resignation letter sent on Sunday. After careful consideration, I have concluded that I can no longer meaningfully contribute to our party's executive leadership team under the current circumstances. The absence of a strategic plan, defined objectives, and measurable outcomes, as well as budgetary issues, have created an environment in which progress is difficult to assess and nearly impossible to achieve. As the saying goes, what gets measured gets done. Unfortunately, without metrics or accountability, it is unclear what we are working toward or what our capacity is to achieve our objective. Just bear with me for one more minute, and I'm going to bring these cows into the barn. Moreover, the internal dynamics of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, particularly the dysfunctional leadership, have made attempts at collaboration increasingly unproductive and discouraging. The lack of transparency, direction, and respect for differing perspectives, or even basic oversight, has fostered a culture that is not only ineffective, but also absurd. End quote. I would like everyone, and my Republican conservative friends, the MAGA voters included, to just take note of the following words describing the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Let's see here. Unaccountable, lacking objectives or a strategic plan, and dysfunctional, a lack of collaboration, a lack of transparency, direction, respect for differing perspectives, a lack of oversight, ineffective, and absurd. Boy, ladies and gentlemen, maybe the state Republican Party needs a little Doge action. I jest, but here's the takeaway. It is a precise reflection of the state of the GOP nationwide. Unaccountable, lacking in oversight, no respect for differing perspectives, no clear strategy, utterly absurd. The reason that it is so is because when you define a political party based on personal loyalty to one man, and you hire people and promote people at state levels and at national levels, not based on their competency or their lifelong commitment to the core values of your party. In fact, when you've traded your party's core values away for, again, this idea of personal loyalty, which becomes the litmus test for, well, everything, the place that you will always end up is a place devoid of competency, devoid of any integrity and commitment to those long-held values, and a place that, according to the now former treasurer of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, a place that is indeed absurd. It is but a symptom of the whole, ladies and gentlemen. Unfreaking believable. With that, it is my pleasure to bring back to the show former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. He's going to be joining me for the first hour. Jim, a pretty rousing indictment of the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
It certainly is. And we have seen, of course, other resignations throughout our nation's history. These are the ones that tell us what's really going on. That's your point, Maggie, right? This is someone who is not only completely at her wit's end when it comes to being able to do her job on a day-to-day basis, but also does not want to go quietly, as an Irish poet once said, into that good night. She is going to tell everyone about what the problems are so that there's no mistaking now and in the future the reasons for departure. And what a commission to the future. You want to save this party? If you want to try to resurrect this office, you need to start from the ground up, as you've just said. It is, again, an important document. It's an important document in the history of America in 2025 for precisely the reasons you just articulated.
It, you know, again, this is one of those things that when I get MAGA supporters on the phone with me, specifically if we're, let's just take the Ukraine-Russia conflict, there's no discernible rhyme or reason to right. Donald Trump's position on that. And we'll get into some of that, I think, tomorrow on this program, because we need to revisit the disastrous meeting on Friday between Donald Trump and President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. But the GOP was always the foreign policy hawk party, right? That whether you go back to World War II, you go back to Ronald Reagan, Nixon, pick a GOP president. And it was, yeah, we're going to fight Russia, we're going to fight the Soviet Union. We understand that China is an enemy. Very clear. And they were, frankly, very interventionist. There is no even tiny minutia of that left in the Republican Party. It's been pulled out, root and stem, and replaced with Taco Trump. And the defense of the isolationist tendencies that seem to undergird Donald Trump is this idea of America first, which makes for a handy soundbite. But the reason that the GOP for a long time was a very hawkish and interventionist party was that they believed that America maintained its status as the leader of the world, that America's first interests were best served by promoting democracies, albeit in incredibly flawed ways, by standing up against authoritarians, by standing up against human atrocities. And the debate was more about like how much intervention should there be, not should there be intervention. Right. All of a sudden, that's gone. It's just one example of the GOP. It's just, it can't even be called the GOP. It's not the Republican Party because it has no fidelity to the values and approach of the Republican Party that so many conservatives have known. And I just thought that this resignation letter was basic. It just distilled it right on down. Those things like completely unaccountable, there's no strategic plan, I can't identify the values, it's totally absurd, it's dysfunctional. Yeah, that's what you get when it's the party of Trump, right? And, it's just that simple.
Her bemoaning the fact that there are no values when you speak about overseas matters, again, these are sound bites that remain in our history. Ronald Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, pull down this wall. Richard Nixon going to China. Why only Richard Nixon could go to China? Because of the stridency, identifying China as one of our, if not the major enemy, one of our top enemies on the face of the planet. And we need, yes, to engage with them, but with complete, complete arm's length distance. That was the history of that party.
Bananas. It is, to quote the former treasurer of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, it is absurd. When we come back, Jim Santel and I are going to dig into the Jim Comey indictment as well as his response claiming vindictive prosecution and the facts he's laid out to support that argument. On the other side, stay with us. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.